Welcome to Bible Baptist Church of Selah, Washington. This is Aaron Pauley saying, stay tuned for 15 minutes of encouragement from God's Holy Word, from Pastor Charles Bonner. So if you have a chance, we would like you to take your Bible and join us as we listen. And here is Pastor Bonner.
Thank you for tuning in today. This is Pastor Bonner, and I want to share with you today something that's always been dear to my heart. And that's how to share Christ with someone. Perhaps you already know, so it could be a refresher course. Perhaps you're one that you would like to win someone to Christ, but you don't quite know. Now, this is going to be a crash course. It's not going to be everything, but I want to share some things with you. So if you want to get your Bible, we're going to look at a few scriptures in Acts and Matthew and then over to the Gospel of John. Now, while you're either getting a notepad or a Bible to follow along with us, I want to invite you out to Bible Baptist Church of Selah. We're located approximately 2.5 miles north of Selah High School. That would put you on Selah Loop Road. And we are located at 20 Tibling Road in Selah. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1089, Selah 98942. Our phone number, if you'd like to call us, 509-697-8895. Well, here we are in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20. Where Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission to the local New Testament church. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord commanded the local New Testament church, which is made up of believers, he commanded us to share the gospel. And through the authority of the local New Testament church, we're to baptize believers and we are to disciple them. Now in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we read over here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now when does the Holy Ghost come upon you? The split second we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, okay? Now, here in Acts 1, Jesus was going to go away. He was their comforter, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and to teach us, to guide us, to come alongside us and help. But he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord wants us to be a witness. He wants us to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things, as you're talking to people, I want to share with you, and every approach is different, but the goal is the same, and that goal is winning that person to Christ. Now, we can't force somebody to get saved. I'm not one who wants to twist somebody's arm to get them to pray a sinner's prayer. I do lead people in prayer, but I believe we need to be nice. We need to be friendly and polite and so on. We can just go out door to door and knock on doors and introduce ourselves, or it could be something that we're talking to people in everyday life. And when we talk to people, here's kind of what I have done. When I meet people and it comes up about I'm a pastor or a Christian or so on, and they'll say, well, what church do you go to? And I'll tell them, well, I'm the pastor of Bible Baptist Church of Selah, Washington. I said, by the way, what church do you go to? They've opened the door when they've asked me, and so I will share with them. I'll ask them, I said, would you do me a favor? And they'll say, what? And I said, would you share with me how you believe a person can go to heaven? And they'll share with me, and it might be something that might be off the wall, but you politely listen. I will say, that's very interesting. Do you mind if I share with you how I believe a person gets to heaven? And then I can give them the gospel, and I'll go through what we call the Roman road and tell them about Jesus Christ. Sometimes I've found preachers, and I know in my early years when I first started serving the Lord, that people would want to argue with people, no, you're wrong, this is right, and all that. Listen, you can win the argument. I learned when I was a businessman, you can win the argument and lose the sale. I was working for some Jewish people in Springfield, Missouri, at a place when I was in Bible college, and they had a sign in the back. They did sales and service, and the sign in the back said something like this: Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And in much the same manner, many sales have been lost. Now, let's talk about here. We're not selling an item. We're concerned about people's soul and their eternity. I've had times where, when I was chaplain at the Yakima Training Center, and I remember one hospital visit I made, and the lady thanked me for stopping by. She worked out there, and as we were talking and the subject, and of course you want to get around to that subject, and I said, well, what church do you go to? And she told me that she was a pagan. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, how did you become a pagan? And she shared with me how she became a pagan. And when she was done, I said, that's interesting. I said, now, can I share with you how I became a Christian? She said, yes, I'd like to hear it. So I took about 10, 12 minutes, and I shared Christ with her. And when we're done, I asked her if that made sense, and she said, somewhat. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And she said, no, but it was interesting. Now, my point was, I was able to plant the seed. I didn't argue with her. I didn't condemn her. I didn't put her down. I planted the seed. You see, when Jesus in John 4 meets the woman at the well, what he did was tell her about the living water. She'd lived with five husbands. The man she's with now is not her husband. Jesus Christ did not give her a lecture on morality. He told her about the living water. And later she got saved and went and told people, I met a man that told me all things that I ever did. We want to tell people about Jesus Christ, and I believe we should do it in a conversational way. When I first went to Bible college, I'd gotten out of the Navy, and they sent me with a senior, and I'm a freshman, and this guy was younger than me, but I went along to learn. And I remember in Springfield, Missouri, we were going up to a stairwell by a little two-story apartment thing, and he knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door, and she had a cigarette in her mouth, and the soul-winning partner who was supposed to train me said, ma'am, if you'll throw away that wicked weed, I'll tell you how to get saved. And I tell you, she cussed him out and told us where to go. As we're walking down the stairs, I looked at him and I said, I sure hope that I don't learn your methodology. You could say, yes, it is a wicked weed and so on, but listen, we cannot come across as holier than thou. We're all sinners saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'll give you one example that happened to me recently. I was with an evangelist friend of mine, my wife and I, and he and his wife, we went up to Leavenworth. On our way back, after our trip, we stopped in Ellensburg to have a bite to eat. And there is where I'm talking. I like to joke and kid and tease the waitresses. And so I was talking to this young lady. And anyway, when it came time to leave her a tip, I looked in my wallet, and I was going to put the bill on my credit card but leave her a cash tip. And, you know, I only had three $20 bills. I normally don't give a $20 bill for a tip, but I always leave a tip. And so I had a track, Four Things God Wants You to Know. And I said, young lady, I tell you what, I'm going to leave you a tip, but more important than that, I said, I'm going to give you this brochure. And if you'll promise to read it, and I handed her the $20 bill. Now, I don't believe in gimmicks. I've never done this before. The Lord just laid on my heart to do this. I said, and if you'll read it, I'll give you this $20 bill. But I'm going to trust you. If you don't read it, my address is on the back. You mail it back to me. And she said, oh, I'll read it on break time. I figured maybe half hour, hour, whenever her break was. But I looked across the way about 30 seconds later. She's behind the counter, and she's reading that gospel tract. And she came over and talked to me and asked me, she said, now, do you go to this church? I said, yes, ma'am, and I'm the pastor there. And she said, well, this is very interesting. I did read it. And I said, but do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And she said, well, I was baptized when I was a child. She was on the west side of the state. She told me the church she went to. She said, I was baptized as a child. She said, I probably need to get baptized again. And I explained to her how that baptism didn't wash away our sins. And I often use the illustration. When Jesus died on the cross, there were two thieves. One rejected Christ and the other believed in him. And remember what some call the penitent thief. He admitted he was a sinner. He broke the law. He was a thief. He admitted that sin to the Lord, and he asked Jesus Christ. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy Father's kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus saved him. I said, notice that man was dying on a cross. He didn't go to church. We all ought to go to church, but going to church don't save us, okay? If you slept in the barn, you wouldn't wake up a cow or a horse. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. I said, he didn't get baptized. He was dying on a cross. He couldn't do good works. He was dying on a cross. He couldn't help little grannies across the street and buy Girl Scout cookies and do other good deeds. He was dying next to Jesus. What saved him was not religion. It was Jesus Christ. And so he asked the Lord to remember him, and he admitted that he was a sinner. Anyway, I said to her, does that make sense to you? And we talked a little more before that. But anyway, I said, does that make sense to you? She said, yes, it does. And I said, Sometime today when you're alone, you could ask Jesus to come into your heart and pray and ask him. This restaurant was busy. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor, would you pray with me right now? And so I prayed, and I thanked the Lord for the opportunity and for this dear lady and that God would work in her heart. And when I finished, I said, now I'm going to help you pray. I said, only because I believe if you knew what to pray, you would have done it already. And so she stood there by our table. She bowed her head, and I ran through the sinner's prayer, and I don't mean that flippantly, but dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. She repeated it. Please forgive me of all my sins, and I now ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. She prayed that. And so I said to her, and this is me, I said, now, did you believe what you prayed, or were you just being nice to me? She said, oh, I believed it. Now I know I'm going to heaven. Listen, it's the Word of God, and it's just making contact with people. It's just being polite to people. It's just sharing the gospel with them. Now, I don't believe in gimmicks. Like I said, I've never offered somebody $20 to read a tract before in my life, and I've been preaching for 48 years. Go out and hand out tracts. Tell somebody about Jesus. Invite them to church. Listen, it's wonderful to see someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Time has gone by, and this is Pastor Bonner. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'd love to hear from you. But till next week, Pastor Bonner saying good day, God bless you, have a great week in the Lord.
Thank you for listening in, and tune in next Saturday at the same time. This is Aaron Pauley for Bible Baptist Church saying, have a great day in the Lord.